الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة، يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون، وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن، ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به، وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. وقال تعالى: إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. وقال تعالى: وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Islamic year is drawing to a close, and therefore it's time for performance reviews. Just as in any successful business, a very fundamental ingredient of success is the review and improvement of performance. And this mindset of business towards the aspects of the Akhirah is a mindset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has advocated in the Quran Kareem. And not in one place, in numerous places in the Quran Kareem. Just to run through a few examples, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Tawbah, and here very interestingly Allah uses the words of purchase and sale to explain the aspects of the Akhirah. Allah mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their wealth in lieu of the fact that Allah has kept in store for them Jannah. He uses the word purchased. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. They conduct jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rejoice at the deal that you have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. Rejoice on this deal that you have struck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And this is a great achievement. In another ayat of the Qur'an Kareem in Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ. Verily those who recite the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they spend from what Allah has given them secretly and openly, they hope for a trade that will never crash. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ. They hope for a trade that will never crash. In other words, a trade of this dunya for the everlasting wealth of the Akhirah. In Surah As-Saff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again emphasizing this mindset of business towards the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adabin aleem. O believers, shall I not tell you of a trade, of a deal that will save you from a painful punishment? تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. That you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and that you strive in Allah's path, you conduct jihad in Allah's path with your wealth and yourselves, your lives. ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. That is better for you had you known. And what will happen if you adopt this deal, if you strike this deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would enter you into the gardens beneath which rivers flow, and He would enter you into abodes, into gardens of eternity. So this mindset of business towards the aspects of the akhirah is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has emphasized in many places in the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used similar language and a similar tone for unfavorable business practices as far as the akhirah is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Baqarah regarding the munafiqeen, أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين. Allah mentions of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites, those who ostensibly said that they were believers, they professed that they had believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they had not believed actually and in reality. So after mentioning their weakness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to mention that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These are those who have purchased error at the price of guidance. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. So their deal did not bring them any gain, any profit. The word here that's being used is rabiha, to profit in a business. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. Their deal, their business did not gain them any profit. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And nor did they gain the right path. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in expressing these unfavorable business practices towards the akhirah, mentions, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Taking a qasam, taking an oath by time, Allah says, verily, man is at a loss. Here, very interestingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word khusr, at a loss, which is normally used to explain the loss of a business, to explain the loss that is incurred in a business deal, in a business. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking a qasam on the token of time, Allah is signifying that man is at a loss if he does not use his time optimally and to the optimum. He doesn't make best use of his time. And here, you know, when we talk about time, sometimes we think that this is referring to the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our lives. And if a person doesn't use this opportunity properly, he has lost an opportunity. So it's an opportunity cost that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. But if you look at the word that has been used,
Here Allah is not referring to an opportunity loss or opportunity cost that has been incurred by the person who didn't use his time properly. Allah has used the word khusr, which means a loss, and indicating and signifying that the actual asset of a person in this life is his time. So if he hasn't used his time properly, then he has lost an asset. He hasn't just lost an opportunity, he has lost his asset. And how would he gain from this opportunity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the next verses, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those who believe, who adopt all the beliefs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of us, and they do good deeds, and they encourage one another towards truth and perseverance. In another ayat of the Quran Kareem, again describing the bad practices or unfavorable business practice as far as the Akhirah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Those whose scales are light, then they have brought loss to themselves. Again using the word khusran or khusr. They have done themselves no good. They have brought themselves loss. So this year end is a good opportunity, it's a good occasion for us to review our performance, our business performance, our spiritual business performance. And very interestingly, this coincides with the returning of the Hujjaj. Those who have been afforded this great and unique opportunity of performing the Hajj. This also coincides with the year end, the Islamic year end. And it is more significant, this performance of, this review of performance, of spiritual performance, of performance on the Islamic scorecard is very significant, particularly for the Hujjaj. The reason being is that the Hujjaj have just returned from a season which is a season of prophets, a season of booming prophets, in fact. So the Hujjaj have to really, take care and retain the barakat and the blessings and the rewards that they have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this very, very busy business season as far as the Akhirah is concerned. Now on this aspect of Hajj, I just like to touch a little on the uniqueness of this ibadah and the uniqueness of the benefits that flow from this ibadah of Hajj. You know, every ibadah, every rite of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a certain benefit, has attached a certain benefit to it. And He has made a specific role of that ibadah. And that ibadah fulfills that role and fulfills a specific requirement of that role. To understand this as an elaboration, take salah for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to perform salah, has required of us that we perform salah. Now, the basic objective of salah is to fulfill this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with that, Allah has attached to it certain peculiar benefits. And that benefit is a manifestation of the acceptance of that ibadah. Have you done this ibadah correctly? Have you fulfilled the requirements, the sunnah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows that benefit to flow from the ibadah. So regarding salah, Allah mentions regarding its benefit, He says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The benefit of salah, if it's done as per requirement, is that it prevents a person from fahsha, from immodesty and munkar, and from sin, anything that is wrong. In the same vein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding sawm, fasting. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. the benefit that flows from fasting, from a fast that has gained acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Inshallah, you will gain taqwa through your fasting. You will gain Allah consciousness through your fasting. It will become easy for a person, if he does his fast properly, to refrain from sin. Regarding zakah, Allah mentions خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. That, O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take their zakat from them, تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, and that will be a means of cleansing them and purifying them. So zakah purifies a person, he purifies his wealth, and it draws the barakah and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through other ahadith we learn that it also protects that wealth from calamities. So these are the peculiar benefits of ibadat that Allah has attached to them as a manifestation of the acceptance of those ibadat. Regarding Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very intriguingly used a different style in the Quran Kareem. Allah mentions regarding Hajj, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالُ وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرِ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. O Ibrahim alayhi salam, addressing Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, announced the Hajj among the people, and now, before even mentioning what the benefits of Hajj are, Allah gives the glad tiding to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that people would definitely answer your call. They will definitely answer your call. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالٍ, and they will come walking. وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِرِ, and they would undertake such difficult journeys that their conveyances would turn lean. Their conveyances would become weak and lean on this difficult journey. وَمِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ, and from every hilly pathway, people would come for Hajj. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the difficulty of the journey, is already giving the glad tiding that people would definitely answer the call of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and come for the journey. Now look at the next ayah. Allah mentions لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, so that these people who are performing the Hajj may witness some benefits that have been kept in store for them. Not mentioning what the benefit is explicitly, saying that there are some benefits, and almost as if, you know, signifying that these benefits are not fathomable through our limited intellect. We cannot appreciate them. We cannot realize these benefits unless we experience those benefits. Similar to when a person who hasn't seen a particular fruit or he hasn't smelt a particular fragrance, if a person asks, you know, how does a mango taste? And he hasn't seen a mango in his life. So you'll say, no, it's sweet. So you'll say, oh, is it sweet like honey? So you'll say, no, it's not sweet like honey. It's sweet, but not like honey. So he said, oh, it's sweet like sugar. And then when you start describing it, you say that it has a fleshy, it has flesh in it, and the flesh is yellow. And he won't be able to understand what you are talking about unless you present a mango to him and he tastes that mango. So here, similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is signifying that Hajj has such benefits in it that a person can't fathom them. He can't realize them and appreciate them fully until he experiences those benefits. You know, just to give a slight indication, probably Allah is referring to the fact that when a person comes back from a accepted Hajj, then he automatically begins to feel a transformation within himself. The condition of his heart changes. His outlook towards life changes. His mindset changes. He becomes more serious towards the deen. He takes a keen interest in following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His concern for staying away from sins deepens. These are all signs of an accepted Hajj. And there are some very, unique signs as well. Once the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the stones that are pelted at the Jamarat. And they express this this intrigue that, you know, every year there are so many stones pelted here, but we don't see those stones accumulating. What's the reason? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the reason is that those hujjaj whose stones have, those hujjaj whose hajj has been accepted, their stones are uplifted. They lifted up to the heavens. And those whose hujjaj whose hajj has not been accepted, their stones remain there. And this is something that we can witness up to this date. That those stones don't accumulate so much. So nonetheless, that's one sign of an accepted hajj. And there are other signs as well, there are other rewards of a hajj which are pertinent to mention here to appreciate and to realize the fact that those who have come back from hajj, they should appreciate this great opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with, and appreciate the great rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached to it. And then part of that appreciation should be to retain that reward, to retain that mindset, and to retain that blessing. In a hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratun lima baynahuma, wal-hajju al-mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. That a umrah, from one umrah to another umrah, the period in between two nafil umrahs, is atoned. In other words, the minor sins of the period between one umrah and the other umrah is atoned by those umrahs. Those minor sins are forgiven by that umrah. And an accepted hajj has no reward except jannah. This is a sahih muttafaq ali hadith. An accepted hajj has no reward except jannah. This is a great reward promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously we need to retain this barakah by leading our lives according to the sharia, so that our lives can be according, can be the life of a person who is entitled to jannah through Allah's fazl. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, again reported by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'aka yawma waladathu ummu. A person who performs the hajj and does not, you know, do any immodest action, or he does not talk immodestly during the hajj, and he does not commit any sin, then he returns from that hajj like the day that his mother gave birth to him. In other words, he returns sinless, free of any sin from the hajj. This is also another great reward promised for the haji. Another very great reward, and in fact an honor bestowed upon the haji by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported in a hadith reported by Imam Hakim rahmatullah alayh, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have made this dua for the haji. Allahumma ighfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. O Allah, forgive the haji, the person who has had this opportunity of performing the hajj, and forgive those for whom he seeks forgiveness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, I've made this dua thrice. Imam Manawi rahmatullah alayh mentions that fihi tashrifun azimun lil hujjaj. This is a great honor bestowed upon the hujjaj by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, whoever the hujjaj seek forgiveness for, they are in effect getting the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their forgiveness. This is a great honor that has been bestowed upon the hujjaj. Then these rewards of jannah, of forgiveness, have not been restricted just to the hujjaj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy has promised similar rewards to those who weren't afforded this opportunity. So in a hadith reported again by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, "Man ghada ila al-masjidi aw raha, a'adda Allahu lahu nuzulahu fil jannah kullama ghada aw raha." Whoever goes in the morning and the afternoon and in the evening or in the afternoon towards the masjid, in other words to perform salah with jama'ah in the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares and adorns his abode in Jannah every time he goes to the salah, to jama'ah. So a person is guaranteed Jannah and the adornment of his Jannah, the continued adornment of his Jannah by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he performs his salah with jama'ah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person who, it's a hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, that a person who does not, who performs and is consistent in performing 12 rak'ah of sunnah mu'akkadah every day, that is the 2 rak'ah before fajr, the 4 rak'ah before zuhr, the 2 rak'ah after zuhr, the 2 rak'ah after maghrib, the 2 rak'ah after isha, if a person is consistent in performing the salah, then Allah will build an abode for him in Jannah. So, it's the season of performance review. It's the, you know, the end of the Islamic year, and it's the season to review and improve our performance. And I'll just conclude on a very simple course of action that has been suggested by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. And on many occasions in his discourses, he suggests this very simple course of action for a person to improve and stay on track. To stay on track and improve as far as his deen and the akhirah is concerned. And it doesn't take any time as well. He suggests that in the morning after Fajr Salah, a person supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks Allah's help in leading and spending his day according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Oh Allah," he says, make this dua, "Ya Allah, I want to spend this day for your pleasure." In other words, even if I'm doing anything permissible, having food, talking to the family, doing business transactions, but I want to do it for your pleasure, for a more nobler intention like providing halal sustenance for the family, eating food to fulfill the right of my body, etc. So you seek Allah's help and you make an intention in the morning that, "Ya Allah, whatever I am going to do during this day, I want to do it for your pleasure." Thereafter, during the day, you try to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible for any small or big need. We are going, for example, after we've finished salah here, we're going to go to get, put on our shoes, make dua, "Ya Allah, make me find my shoes easily. If I need a conveyance, Ya Allah, allow me to find a conveyance easily." Like that, you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every small and big need. And any ni'mah that is acquired, a person makes shukr on that ni'mah. He expresses gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that ni'mah. And lastly, before a person retires to bed, he just gives his day a cursory glance. He takes a cursory glance over his day, and where there is something that requires him to make shukr of Allah, there was a good action that he was able to perform, there was some ni'mah, he makes shukr, and if something that was inappropriate, he makes istighfar on that. If a person just makes amal on these three, on this 3-point course of action, then Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab suggests that inshallah it can be a life changer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.